listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 330 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, a little bit of a cold, Edward Lamb.
I'm going to sing the blues.
Sean Orford, yeah. What do you think? Do you like this?
Yeah, it's husky. Yeah.
This is a lot better than yesterday at the weekend. I could barely talk.
Oh, that must have been really good.
Well, it was. It was quite a nice peace and quiet for everyone. But yeah, it's autumn. Everyone's getting a bit of a cold. Crack on with it, eh?
I've just come back from the Middle East. It was really warm there. So
yeah, what's it feel like going from like 45 degrees down to...
to 14, it was...
9, look at that, 9 degrees today.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, no, I came back in through Manchester on Thursday night, and at the same time, 4 other planes had arrived from Thomas Cook, repatriating people.
Wow.
And the airport was just mad. Completely. It took me hours to get out. You just walked through.
Has that happened since we last spoke, I think, maybe?
The complete collapse of...
My neighbour works in one of the shops in West Kirby, and my brother-in-law is a pilot.
Oh, of course. Cook. It was Thomas Cook?
Yeah.
I thought he was Chewy.
Thomas Cook. So, world turned upside down there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
600 UK pilots. Well, there's 100 jobs going at the moment in the UK. So it's pretty stressful, and we are talking about stress. Today.
Yeah.
And managing it. We all suffer from it. From one degree, even psychotherapists get stressed.
What do you mean?
liveinthepresent.co.uk is the website. Take a look at all the show notes and links. You still doing blog posts? I'm still putting the links up.
Yeah, I'm doing blog posts.
They're on there. The blog posts each week are there.
Yep.
Do sign up for the mailing list and you'll get some meditation files, which we'll probably talk about meditation at some point today. So there's free meditation files that you can get from us.
Yeah.
What have you been up to since you got back, or are you just adjusting?
It's a weird thing coming back. And people say, well, you've only been there for like 3 weeks. But the time shift is huge, the temperature shift is huge, but the culture shift is huge as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite disorientating going from one to the other, either which way. You know, when you arrive, it's weird. When you come back, it's weird.
Yeah. Do you think the speed at which we've talked about this in the past, like the speed you can now travel between cultures and times.
Yeah.
It's instant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, maybe in days gone by it would have been a longer train journey, or even, I don't know, it would have been impossible in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Or you would have been on a boat for weeks to get there.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, from one extreme to the other.
I think it's about 3-4,000 miles, something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's only 2-hour time zone, though, isn't it? 2-hour difference.
2 hours, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, but then if you just go around the other side of the Gulf to Abu Dhabi, they're 3 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the problem is that when we dip back at the end of October, it becomes 3 hours.
Yes.
And because they start work at 7 o'clock in the morning their time, that means I end up going online at 4 o'clock in the morning our time to work with their staff going into work.
Yeah.
So it's the time shift.
Hey, man, first world problems, eh?
Yeah.
I want to give a quick shout to everyone that came to our first Rethink event.
It's
a CIC. We had our first event, the Leverhulme Summer Cycle.
I'm jealous that I missed it.
End of September. And we'll talk about that in the context of the show, about stress, really, because I'm not in the events business, really, but I can see why or how events like that, one-off events, can lead to a lot of stress for the people organising them, because it's a lot of... Yeah. Build up to this one moment in time, and then oof. But it was kind of cool because we were stressed, and it was raining in the morning. It had been beautiful all week. Even the day before was glorious sunshine, but the rain, you could tell on the weather forecast, it was getting worse and worse. Even to one point, thunder and lightning was predicted on our day.
Yeah.
And I woke up at 5:30 in the morning to torrential rain outside the window.
And
we weren't sure if it was going to be able to go ahead at one point, but yeah, we cracked on, and then people showed up at 10 o'clock, the open time. People were there ready to go, and it was just a really cool vibe all day. So, job done.
That's good.
But yeah, in the context of that, that was pretty stressful, to be honest. Like, I'm trying to think back how I managed the stress. My colleague Tanya, who's working on it as well. You could sense some stress in her in the days leading up to it. You know?
And is she used to doing it, though?
Well, she's done quite a lot of big events, and she did kind of warn me. And I asked her, you know, in the kind of week before, is this going to be the next week? Is it going to be pretty full on? And she was like, yes, basically.
And was she right?
She was dead right. Yeah, she was dead right. In some ways, the rain helped because it did limit the amount of people that showed up to the event.
But you saw massive amounts of people turn up.
Yeah, we had a good few hundred people coming along, and at one point, yeah, the car park was jammed full. Mm. So had it been glorious weather, that might have added to the stress in the sense that we would have been over capacity. And my main concern was around traffic in Brimstage Hall because it's quite a secluded little part of the world, and we wouldn't have turned people away, but we would have had people to get people to park elsewhere and walk along this busy road. So turned out all right in the end. But yeah, my stress evaporated as soon as the gates opened, basically, because people were there with smiles on their faces. And
so was that your fear that people wouldn't turn up? Is that the stress?
That was part of my stress. Yeah. But it was also too many people turning up. Because it was wet, there was no rain from when 10 o'clock came, but the ground was a bit damp. Mm-hmm. The people that did come were kitted out correctly, you know, they were up for fun, whatever the weather. Mm-hmm. So the people that were there when it did start raining again at lunchtime didn't care that it was raining, so there was no huffing and puffing, and, it's a bit muddy in it. Everyone that arrived was just, you know, up for just contributing to a really nice atmosphere.
Yeah, it's good.
So perfect. How about your stress levels? We've had a little chat before you came on air. You've got a lot going on in your life, right?
I go to Doha to do this work there. So just picture the scene, brand new hospital, right? 5,500 staff from 90 different countries. And my role is to build the staff, support staff and support people. The miscommunication that goes on is phenomenal, because although everybody speaks English, they speak different kinds of English and have different cultures and ideas and customs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hugely stressful. It's not like going away and having 3 weeks of like woo. It's more like 3 weeks like wow. So coming back again, getting on that plane and having 7 hours of just chilling and having a drink and something to eat, you know, that's good. But then I walk back into the fact that we've been having our kitchen replaced, which has been lovely, and it's a beautiful kitchen. And that, as ever happens with workmen, it's running behind schedule. It should have finished the day before I came back. It's still not finished. It's a week overdue. It's not going to be finished this week. You know, and then
there's
we
a new series
for things
of Grand Designs on at the moment, so going on Channel 4. So it's always the same, isn't it? Every episode, basically. Everything's over budget, over schedule.
Yeah.
Things are going wrong.
But I think that the issue about being let down by tradesmen and builders is a common thing. I'd say that with the guys that we're using here, it's like being let down by a higher class of tradesmen. You know, they're nice guys. You know, so it's being let down nicely.
So you know how to do it.
But it's still frustrating because the worst thing is when people promise you something that they know they can't fulfil, and then they don't fulfil it, and then they're a bit surprised that you might be a bit cheesed off by that.
Yeah. Well, my job as a web designer, you know, people rely on me for getting things done in a certain time frame, blah, blah, blah. And that my biggest cause of stress in my work, aside from, like, getting paid, which generally isn't an issue, but is letting people down. So I feel an awful lot of stress if I get an email from someone and I know I'm a bit behind asking how I'm doing. You know, they might be asking quite politely, but I can sense that they're really saying, come on, man, you said you'd have it done by now.
Yeah, where is it?
That causes me a lot of stress, and I don't like that. So I wonder if tradesmen, because we had an extension built a few years ago, and to be honest, it was pretty much on track ours, and they did, but the communication wasn't always as good as it could have been.
I think that...
Do you think tradesmen, people feel the same kind of stress, or do they just kind of have that as part of their...
I'm sure they feel the stresses, but they're used to kind of balancing, I guess, because very often they've got several jobs going at once, and it's like spinning plates and trying to keep several people happy all at once, and that can be quite tough and difficult.
Yeah.
So that if The worst thing is, I think, is that if the guys are just straight and tell you what's actually going to happen, then it's not so much of a problem. It's when they promise you and then don't deliver. That's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, because people make plans around certain things, don't they? So we're all stressed. We've all got different things going on in our lives. We're all going at 100 miles an hour. How do we cope with this stuff? I mean, we've both had a good vent about stuff that we've got going in our lives. Is that number one? Is it just not bottling things up?
There's two kinds of venting. One is the kind of venting where you just need to kind of let it go, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's almost like squeezing the pus out of something. That's all right.
Lovely. Yeah. That's a lovely thought.
Yeah, the worst thing is when people do the kind of thing where they want to kind of get it out and vent about it, but they want to kind of polish it and then put it back and save it for later and then bring it out again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the kitchen is behind schedule. It'd really be nice if we had some kind of working kitchen by the weekend, like 4 weeks in. But if we don't, it's like we don't. And it's like I can either lie awake and worry about it, or I can accept it is what it is, you know. And when you work with other people, you work with their timescales as well, do you? It's all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But so the choice is, do I ruminate on it or do I let it go? I'm not really a ruminator. You know, I do try to just let things go, and to do that I do a bit of meditation, a bit of breath focus stuff, try and be in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, at the moment, you and I are sat here in this auditorium here, having a conversation with a microphone, and it's like
the world's going on around us. People are washing up over there, and businesses are ticking along.
Yeah, but I mean, there's stuff going on in Iran and Saudi, and there's stuff going on with Brexit, and there's stuff going on with my kitchen, and there's stuff. You know, it's like there's stuff going on all over the place. But it's like I'm not there. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a choice, you know. And if I'm here, I'm not stressed. If my mind's wandering all over the place, then I'm stressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work though, does it? When you there's a chap on Twitter I follow, and he's you know, I rely on him quite a lot for kind of keeping me sane about all this political chaos that's going on in the world, particularly in the UK. And he posted a little video this morning which was showing how slow the speed of light is. So it was showing how fast light travels around the world, planet Earth, and then it zoomed out with the moon in and showed you how fast light travels between the moon and Earth, and then from Mars, and then it showed from the sun. And this really slow kind of pixel of light moving across so slowly from the sun to get to us. And his point was that, and he's guilty, he's admitted he's as guilty as anyone for kind of getting bogged down in Brexit stuff. He said the big picture is that none of it matters, you know. And, you know, 10,000 years from now, no one's going to give it crap.
And I think it's true for so much stuff, isn't it? It's like in the moment, we can get so exercised and so kind of worried about stuff.
Man, stop checking your watch. Yeah, why are you getting stressed about all this stuff?
I'm getting messages coming in, see? Messages from the Middle East. Yeah.
But it doesn't work, does it, to say to someone who's clearly having a hard time with whatever's going on, you know, in 10,000 years, no one will care. That's not really a good message. It doesn't work showing that to someone, does it?
But the thing is that when the dinosaurs died out, you know, at the time, it was a tragedy to nature. Yeah, we look back at an interesting point of archaeological history, and it's like, if we die out, you know, if we're that stupid that we blow ourselves out of the water, then whatever happens after us, we'll look back on this as, oh, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Hopefully there's some kind of record of what we did, and now the next lot can learn.
I'm sure they'll find a recording of these podcasts.
Oh, yeah, imagine. Well, that's, all this digital stuff and photos.
Yeah, will they be able to, would it be held somewhere?
I know. In the most recent Blade Runner, 2049, there's a period described as the blackout, where something happened in technology. Everything was wiped, you know, so everyone's financial info and nothing digital survived the blackout. yeah, like it's quite, you know, all this, all these podcasts will be just lost, like teardrops in the rain.
I've just had a whole thing with my iPad that I updated to the new operating system, and all the diaries went wrong. And there's a new thing, which is an override button, so you can have an override on your diary and have two time zones going on at once.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And for some reason, mine decided to chuck the Doha time in, and I couldn't make any of my diaries work, and then they wouldn't sync with other diaries, and it was, like, driving me mad. You know? Yeah. And then you solved my problem.
By being near computers, I tend to solve things quite often. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
But that's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's like, how much stress or angst do we feel because we don't share it? You know, we don't say to another person, can you help me? Mm. Whereas collectively we have a mind bank of information that if we share it, we can use it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and I do this podcast every week, man. You know, you're a very experienced professional in this field, but we are both guilty of probably not doing the things we should do and bottling things up every now and again.
Yeah, I definitely
am, you know, flipping out.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of things that I don't confront anymore. I used to. And now I've kind of learned that when people are committed to an idea or a point of view, and you kind of know inside yourself that maybe it's not right or whatever, sometimes you just have to let it flow. And then when it doesn't work out the way they thought it was, you have to learn not to say, I told you so, and just let it be.
Yeah.
Because that's how people grow and learn. You know, people think that they know. I guess I do it too. You know what I mean? And you only learn through experience very often.
Yeah, I had this period. Well, I'm giving a talk next month to Cycling UK event and AGM about my experience working with the police on reporting incidents that I see out and about and I'm a victim of, I guess, technically. Mm-hmm. And so there's a period in my world a year ago probably when the stress of getting to work on my bike safely was really quite on top of me, and I actually lost quite a bit of weight from it, like potentially, like body, I mean, a slight guy, but I probably lost like 5-10% body weight.
No.
Partly a result, I think, from stress, because I was watching a lot of stuff online of other people's close calls, and I was relating it to mine, and I was getting stressed about every car that passed me. I was worrying about it. And what helped me with that is actually having a camera on me. So I used to get quite angry, and I'm not an angry guy generally. I hope listeners will understand.
don't believe him.
About people driving too close to me. Yeah. Probably not even being aware, aware that I'm there, but not aware that they've just kind of come so close to me that it's, you know, nearly killed me, etc. And I used to, you know, shout and scream and swear at
drag drivers. People out their cars and give a good thrashing.
Yeah, well, I'd like to. Yeah. But recording it and working with the police solved a lot of that, because rather than get angry, I knew I had this footage that I could, and I've got a sympathetic police force that were keen on working with me and other people on bikes to solve this problem through reporting and then sending a polite letter. Do you know you did this? Here's a photo of the incident. Do you know how much space you're supposed to give? And that helped me a lot, actually. There's a lot of people on bikes around the country that don't have a sympathetic police force.
And you know, when you've got that feedback loop going, so the police contact the person, have you ever had any feedback as to what it's like for the recipient to get that letter?
Well, I'm going to find that out next month, because the police are going to be there at the event to do a bit of a FAQ. But from what I've heard, the police have had no feedback. Well, no comeback. No one's phoned them up to say, what are you talking about? That was ridiculous. So from their point of view, they're happy because they feel like the message is getting through. And they've had no repeat offenders either, actually. So the letters that they're sending have done the trick. So it's quite interesting, but we'll find out. Looking forward to giving a little talk on it as well.
Yeah.
But that was a stressful period in my life that I dealt with by working with my local police.
Yeah.
Which is quite an extreme thing to do, I guess, but job done.
Yeah, no, it's good that they are open to it.
Mm.
And if we are going to make this change where people are going to use their cars less, people are going to have to get on bikes.
You know, I hope
You're right in what you've been doing.
I hope so. Doing me
And it's interesting just listening to people across the world. There was a thing while I was away on the World Service television that was talking about how different towns had gone car-free.
Right.
and London had done it, and Paris had done it, you know, that kind of thing. So they spend a day where there's no cars at all.
In certain areas.
And people kind of reclaim the streets.
Yeah, yeah, there's a movement building for all that, and it's not going to be easy. But
There used to be a thing where, back in the 60s where in the city, because on a Sunday was the day of rest, you know, people didn't do things on a Sunday. But there were loads of pictures of residents in the city, that lived in the city. They would be out in the streets in deck chairs and things like that, in the sun, because there were no cars.
Yep.
You know,
and the noises and the pollution's gone. It's like,
And obviously now we have a 7-day week, 24-hour day, doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, yeah, and relating that to stress is that we kind of, we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? Because we all might demand that shops are open 24/7 because you know, we want to be able to nip out and get stuff whenever we want. Cool, business is like, okay, yeah, that's good. We'll do better from that. Mm. And then the knock-on effect is like built-in stress to everyday life, isn't it?
Well, one of the things that's really relevant is that when I was in the Middle East working in this hospital, all these different nationalities, the expats. There's something really odd about the Muslims. And I said, what's that? And they said, when they go to prayer, because they go to prayer three times during the working day, when they go to prayer, when they come back, they're really relaxed and chilled. And I said, that's because they've just been mindful. And they said, what do you mean? I said, because when they're in their prayer, worried about what was or what will be, they're actually being in the moment. And we know, if you wire anybody up and get them to do a mindfulness exercise, it takes about 10 minutes, and your whole system comes right down. Blood pressure, skin moisture, respiration, everything comes right down. Only takes 10 minutes. They do it three times a day. In the hospital in the Middle East I've been working in, they are now setting up, got a team of people. We call it the Mindful 10. So people that are non-Muslim that just want to take 10 minutes and stop during the day. There's different options for them during the day to take that time out and just come down.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah. And if you look at all the research, like when they were industrialising China and they went onto the factories with all the lines they're working on, that if they took people off the lines for 5 minutes every hour to just jump about and do some exercise, go back to the lines again, productivity went up.
Right.
Whereas if you did a solid 8 hours, hour on hour, productivity goes down.
Yeah, definitely. And I know there's more, it's starting to get a bit more into our political discourse about, I think the Labour Party announced at their conference last week that they have this aim if they get in government, and they'll work towards a 4-day week.
Yeah.
Over a 10-year period, they want people to basically the normal 37.5-hour, 40-hour week to come down to 32 hours with no reduction in pay. And obviously, they're going to bat it back and forth with the other side of the political debate about whether that's possible.
There's going to be loads of fun with that, isn't there?
But, I've seen the research on stuff like that, and we've talked about in the past that if you take the pressure off people, that
the productivity goes up,
can go up in less time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how the Swedish thing is about, trying to get down to a 6-hour day. Mm. And they've shown that you get more out of people in six. You get more out of people in 6 hours than you do in 8. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's part of the rethink stuff that I'm working on, is that based on the chaos and the mayhem I see at school every morning with traffic and people obviously in a rush to get to school and then home or to work. It's not necessarily because people are idiots or like just don't care about anyone else. It's because, you know, we're in a rush and we're busy and we're stressed and we're trying
to... The pressure's on.
So let's take the pressure off, you know? So, you were, man. Crazy.
Yeah.
There's an article I'm going to link to in the show notes about 10 tips for dealing with stress, and it's generally pretty... it's stuff that you won't be as a massive surprise in terms of getting more exercise, eating well, taking out time in your life to... focus on your hobbies and your things you like to do, relaxation, slowing down, usual stuff really, but I think it's sometimes worth just going through these point by point to see what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And is there anything else on the list there that you think is missing or that you wanted to...
No, I think it's all okay. What I want to include as my results is this. is there are lots of apps that you can go and get, and they're breathing exercises. Because the thing that you realise is when people get stressed, they stop breathing properly, and that changes the way the adrenal system works, and it builds up stress hormone.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to experience it is, because you've got three lobes in your lungs, anyone who's listening to this now, if you hunch your shoulders right up under your ears and you try and breathe, it's like it's really hard because you're just breathing with the top lobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens if you say to people, where do you hold your stress? Firstly, everybody points towards their neck and their shoulders. Yeah, and that's because as people get stressed, the tension comes in the shoulders lift, and they start to shallow breathe.
Yeah.
And when they start to shallow breathe, the system goes out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the easiest ways of de-stressing your system and getting your system back into balance is to drop your shoulders and breathe out, as in a couple of times. Get your breath down in your belly and spend a minute, and there's lots of apps that do it, spend a minute just doing deep breathing.
Yeah.
And the level of stress hormone in your system drops dramatically.
Wow. Yeah, I went through a bit of a period where I was noticing where that my shoulders would be up, and it would be related to stress at work.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd have to kind of every...
Yeah. You end up with your shoulders
minutes.
Under your ears. Yeah.
Like, well, what are you doing? I had to get it down again. And just it would take the physical stress off my body.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't
But it takes... because it's due to the way the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems work, that when your shoulders up, every time you breathe in, you get a spurt of adrenaline into your system.
Mm.
So you build up stress hormones straight away.
Wait. So if you ever see someone with their shoulders up by their ears...
Go relax.
Yes.
Breathe out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What point, before I talk about my resource, what point does stress become like a more serious mental health issue?
The thing I'd say is that most people, when they talk about stress, they're actually talking about being busy. Stress really is when the resources available are less than those required to complete the task, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, financial, whatever it is.
We talked earlier, before we came on, about if a bridge is under stress from too much traffic or...
Yeah.
Then the bridge will be shut.
Yeah, we just had a bridge in Liverpool, aren't we? They're having to dismantle.
Right, yeah, the flyovers.
Yeah, which is a concrete, it's got concrete camps or whatever they call it, where it's falling apart.
Yeah, it's done.
And they can't actually let any cars go on it or lorries go on it. And that's because it is stressed. And that's the point, is when you're stressed, if you take one more thing, you break.
It was the same Hammersmith Bridge in London, I think.
Yeah.
6 months ago, that was closed. And urban designers and people with an interest in stuff like that see this as a real opportunity for reducing stress in the city in general, you know, certainly in Liverpool with the flyover and in London with Hammersmith, and particularly around like traffic. So if you come out of the tunnel in Liverpool, if you're driving or you're on the bus, it's not a particularly pleasant sight, though. You've got this beautiful St. George's Hall in front of you and the museum on your left. You've then got this horrible flyover. And so obviously people are arguing about where's all the traffic going to go, how are people going to get in and out, and people like me are saying this is an amazing opportunity to redesign how people get around in a city.
If it's been closed for that long, are people missing it? Where are people going instead of going on the flyover?
Well, no, I haven't seen the data for Liverpool, but the Hammersmith Bridge in London was shut to traffic, and obviously people are talking about congestion elsewhere, but the data's come in and a lot of the traffic has evaporated. Like, there's less journeys being taken by car in total, so other roads have got a little bit busier.
They always say that traffic expands to fill the roads available, does it?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember when the M40 opened, when I was going up and down to work in Wales, and when it opened, it was like empty. You know, give it 3 months and it was absolutely thick with traffic.
Yeah.
But for those first 3 months, it was a breeze, you know.
Yeah, we'll do another show about that. I could talk about it for hours. Is there a point where with stress you need to seek professional help a bit more?
I think that the things to watch out for are, it's when you start to get a short fuse and you're starting to get irritable and bad-tempered. That's when you start to become a pain in the arse to yourself and to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it becomes destructive.
Yep.
Yeah. And when you get to that point where you're starting to be niggly and horrible, go and do something about it, because you start wrecking other people's lives as well. And it's like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned your resource, haven't you? You need to key it in so I don't forget to...
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to say is like Breath App.
Breath.
Because there's loads of them on all of the app sites. Yeah. Shops, stores, whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Cool.
Stalls. Yeah. But if you can breathe right, you can reduce the levels of stress on your system. Mm. And most people don't breathe right because their posture's wrong. It's like, you know, get your posture right, get your breath right, calm your system down.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to mention a video which is life lessons from a 7,000-mile bike ride. I saw it a couple of weeks ago. So it's this chap who was getting a bit stressed in real life and decided just to say, sod it, I'm off, and he got on his bike. Planned out this journey from Oregon down to the tip of South America, 7,000 miles. Route he planned, went with a mate and got this beautiful film out of it. But he was interested, or the film is interested in how there's no, generally, kids aren't stressed. You know, they have this sense, kids have this sense of wonder with almost everything in life. They wake up having had a good night's sleep, ready to go, and you know, you have to fight to get them to sleep at the end of the day. And he kind of put it down to basically growing up and losing that sense of wonder, and routine kind of grinds you down a little bit. So he decided to do this to reignite that sense of wonder in his life. So yeah, and he says, by choosing adventure, Jenkins is able to reactivate his brain and turn his 100 years on this planet into 1,000. So he gets this, now that he's done this journey and maybe planning his next, he feels like he's slowing down time and he's getting all this extra wonder in his life.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's amazing. Cool little 5, 6 minute movie.
Brilliant.
Right, we all done?
Yeah, I'm done.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Send us an email.
Everyone in here is in good voice. They're all singing.
Hopefully, I like a bit of background noise in a podcast, just kind of makes you feel like you're involved in...
We should go and do one on a train.
Maybe we should, on the ferry. We could hop on the ferry, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could do pods from different places.
That'd be good. Yeah. Okay, have a good week, Sean.
Yeah.
See you later.
And you, take care. Bye.
All right.